Hey everyone, welcome to Apport Football Podcast. My name is Ahmad Apport, and joining me here in the show is Brian.
Yeah,
after the international break, the Premier League and the rest of European leagues returns. And I don't know how your international break was, because mine was kind of, without Premier League, kind of boring, because I'm used to watching Premier League more than international games.
Yeah.
So I don't know what about you.
Yeah, obvious, everyone is excited, the Premier League is back. I guess, you can tell the feeling the past weekend, we were bored. So, I think everyone is excited about the club football, and we're looking forward to seeing some exciting games in the weekend.
So, without wasting any time, let's do it. Yeah, welcome back again, and we were just talking about the return of the Premier League, and during the international break,
yeah,
we saw some Premier League players, especially I supporting Arsenal. Some of Arsenal players actually did very well during the international break with their various national teams, the likes of Smith Rowe, who made his first debut for England national team, same to Ramsdale, and he also scored a goal, and Bukayo Saka. I'm talking about them because they are Arsenal players, and I'm an Arsenal fan. I don't know about Manchester United on the other side.
Yeah.
Or
okay, with Manchester United, I don't think there's any player that stood out. Okay, I guess it's Maguire only. Yeah, I guess it's Maguire, and I don't think there was another player who stood out in this international break video.
But the trick about Maguire during the international break, his goal against Albania.
Yeah, he scored against Albania, and he scored against...
I'm talking about his celebration, actually.
Yeah.
The way he celebrated, saying, I believe you saw his celebration against Albania.
Yeah.
Putting his hands in his ears, like he's silencing the critics.
Like, yeah.
And some of the football pundits and were criticizing his celebration. Why do that? Because I think where he's struggling at the moment, it's at Manchester United rather than not England.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't have any issues with the England fans.
Okay, I think with the celebration thing, I don't think maybe the celebration was aimed at somebody or maybe someone. I think he was celebrating that relief, that fresh air of Man United pressure. So I don't think that celebration was a big deal.
And about the people criticizing, do you think it was fair? It was
being unfair to the guy, because let the guy just enjoy his football. Because if you criticize his celebration, he's not the main cause of Manchester United problems at our team, you see. So I found it weird seeing the likes of I think, was it Carragher,
Roy Keane, actually.
Yeah, I found it weird seeing Keane criticize the guy. So let that Maguire regain his form. He can build his form from those two goals at the international level.
And over the weekend, actually there'll be a lot of football action, plenty of football action. Leicester City will be at home against Chelsea. Tottenham are eyeing their first win under Antonio Conte, and they'll be hosting Leeds at home. And obviously, Manchester United also will try to make things right, as they will be playing against Watford. They'll be away, actually. And you know, the big game, Arsenal,
against,
or let's
Liverpool,
say the in-form Arsenal team against Liverpool. And just a bit of some of statistics here is that Liverpool are unbeaten their last six meetings with Arsenal at Anfield. going into this Saturday, let's kick off with the Premier League. The Gunners haven't won at the home of Liverpool since 2-0 victory in September 2012 when goals from Lucas Podolski and Santi Cazorla sealed 3 points early in the 2012-2013 season.
Yeah.
Do you think that now is the right moment to also turn things? Because we haven't been having some good records at Anfield of late.
Okay, in this, when you talk about this fixture, I think we should focus on the two teams. Firstly, if you look at Liverpool this season, I think Liverpool only have one loss this season.
Yeah, against West Ham.
Against West Ham, and it was an away loss. And if you look at their home record, they have a good home record. They have been having a good home record this season. And you see, as if we focus on Arsenal, since that Man City 5-0 thrashing, Arsenal have been a very different side. So when Arsenal are going into this fixture with much confidence, you see, than Liverpool, because Arsenal have been in a run of good games. So okay, with me in this fixture, I know Anfield is a tough place to be to play, because even Wenger, I think Wenger said something like that in the past interview. Okay, with me, I think this game will have a lots of goals.
let me ask you, between the two teams heading to this Saturday fixture, which team will you say that is going to this fixure in a high form?
Yeah, I think if you base
in a better form heading to this game.
If you base on the form and the with the confidence levels, I think Arsenal have an advantage in this fixture. But you see, Liverpool playing at Anfield, that's a different case. See, because you know.
Yeah, our record hasn't been good at Anfield. Yeah, because in recent trips that we've traveled to Anfield, man, they've really been embarrassing.
Anfield is a difficult place to play at. Even Barcelona, you have memories of Barcelona last the previous season. So okay, with me that game, I see maybe a 2-2. Yeah, or something like that.
Do the injury favors Arsenal? Because actually Liverpool are facing some injury crisis. Like, Mane won't be available. The likes of Firmino won't be available. Also, some much fitness among some Liverpool players.
Yeah, that can hand Arsenal an advantage in that case. But you see, I think with Liverpool, their strong point is their defense, mostly because they have an organized backline and a midfield, you see. So if maybe the Liverpool's defense was maybe affected somehow, I'd have some doubts on Liverpool. But if their defense and their mid is still strong and intact, yeah, it will be a tough fixture.
Yeah, because even if they lose the likes of Mane and Firmino, I think they're just good to go, because they have players who can fill those positions.
Yeah, there is Jota.
So we can't say that they're short of players.
Yeah, we can say that,
because they have players. They have quality players who can fit in that position. The likes of Jota, the likes of Chamberlain, the likes of in short, they have depth in squad. And what about Arsenal?
Arsenal, okay, you talk after. Does Arsenal have any?
The only injury crisis I think we have at the moment, I think, is Thomas Partey. He's the only one who might be unavailable to face Liverpool over the weekend.
Shaka
is for Shaka, he hasn't been with us.
Yeah.
And during almost 2 months after suffering that injury blow. But he's recovering very well, and he might feature back for Arsenal maybe in early December, maybe late December. But at the moment, with the score that we have, I think the only injury crisis that we have or we are facing is from Thomas Partey, a player that since he was signed as an Arsenal player, hasn't been going really well for him because of the injury problems that he has been facing. And I've been worried, by the way, because he's a player that we really, really always
like.
I don't know, like, but which term should I use?
Or you are over dependent on him.
Yeah, we always over dependent on him. But now with the injury problems, I'm kind of a bit worried about Thomas Partey.
But I think there's some players that can fit that position, like this the guy from Egypt.
Who?
The
Mohamed El Nani.
Yeah, El Nani. I think El Nani can fit in that area.
But one thing with Arsenal of late, I know we have been in a good run of form. We have win. We have been able to win games. 3 games in a row, and we haven't been conceding that much, which means that the team is on track. Our defense has really been solid at the back, and that's what Mikel Arteta has been really working on since coming to Arsenal. And I think the players, if you ask the players that Arteta has at the moment, I think we can say now are his players, and they can fit in his team, in his formation, and everything, tactics.
I think with Arteta, you guys have to be, you have to be patient with Arteta, because
you're already patient with him.
Okay, at the beginning of the season, you guys weren't patient with Arteta. I think you should give the guy time. I think he has an identity that he is trying to replicate at Arsenal. So when given the right support and the right time, he's going to build a very strong team.
Yeah, at the moment we should not be, let's say for example, let's say we kind of slipped against Liverpool. I think what the fans should do is just back the players,
the
managers.
But it will depend, slip with what margin.
Yeah, yeah, if you slip, let's say in our next 2 games, for example, we slip, the result
okay,
doesn't
what,
go
what,
the
what if you slip against Liverpool with maybe a 6-0 margin? You see, it won't make sense, because you guys, right now, I told you, when you're heading into this fixture, you guys are the favourites, you see. Basing on form, Arsenal is, I think...
On paper, Arsenal, they're favourites than Arsenal.
Yeah, on paper, totally Liverpool is ahead. But when you look at form, the form of the...
Yeah, we are on form.
Yeah, you guys are on form. So, if with the good form that you guys, or with the good run of games that you guys have been having, you head into this fixture and suffer maybe a 5-0 thrashing, okay, it won't make sense, because for you to build a great team, you need that consistency. You see, the consistency that Man City are having, the consistency that Liverpool are having. Yeah, so I think maybe if you lose something like a 2-1, a 1-0, maybe it will be, what can you say, an unlucky game.
To be a very good result, but actually going at Anfield, we need results. We don't need a draw. It's either we win or maybe we lose. Because I believe in the team, the way the team has been playing of late, I believe.
Okay, you,
and
you,
I'm optimistic.
As an Arsenal supporter, what do you see about the fixture?
We are going to win that game by 2-1.
Are you sure?
I'm very 100% sure. Arsenal is winning by 2-1.
I wish you all the best.
Liverpool and Arsenal combined first 11. What's your first 11?
Okay, me in goal, I'd prefer between Rafael and Alisson. You know, I like Alisson a lot. So
hater will hate. Yes.
Yeah, haters will hate. But I'd go with Alisson. The left back position, I think I'll choose. Okay. I'll go with Robertson. The right back position,
okay.
I'll give your guy. I'll give this guy
Tomiyasu.
Yeah, I'll give Tomiyasu.
Okay.
Center back position, it's undisputed. You see, I'll go with Virgil. And
Gabriel.
Okay, let me give this Arsenal guy a chance.
Gabriel.
Yeah, I can give Gabriel.
Okay.
Yeah. Can give Gabriel maybe a chance there. Okay, my midfield, I prefer a strong midfield. So in the number 6 position, in that holding position, I'll pick Fabinho. Yeah, so I'll go with Fabinho and Thiago maybe, and this guy
who
Smith Rowe at the number 10 position, and my front three, I'll take Salah, I'll take Mane, and I can give Aubameyang a chance.
Me, if you ask me, my first 11 Liverpool Arsenal 11 combined, I'll go for Ramsdale. The reason is because I decided to choose Ramsdale rather than Alisson. If you talk about consistency, then I'll go for Alisson. But you talk about form at the moment, I'll go for Ramsdale because the last few games, the guy has really been fantastic and hasn't been conceding more goals and errors leading to goals compared to Alisson. Alisson is a very good goalkeeper. I respect the guy so much, but I'll just have to pick Ramsdale. Talking about defensive right back, I'll go with Trent Alexander-Arnold definitely. Although Tomiyasu also is doing a very good job because of the way Trent is playing of late. Has really been playing very well in that position and he's undisputed in that position. I'll just go with Trent. In the back for defense there, I'll go with Virgil van Dijk, of course, and Gabriel.
Yeah.
Been very well, consistency, solid at the back. Almost 3 clean sheets, I don't know, 4 or 5 clean sheets or so. Left back, I know it surprised many, but I'll go with Tavares. Reason being, Tavares.
You like this guy a lot.
The reason being, I'm going to Tavares. In the first 3 games, you know, I never knew this guy will be a starter in Arsenal starting 11 when he was signed.
I think he has disapproved many people.
He has really disapproved many people. Yeah. And Trini should be worried at the moment, although he had a very good game during the international break with Scotland team. But he should be worried because Tavares has really proven the guy is really quick, can defend, has that... I don't know how to, but the reason I decided to pick him over Robertson because I haven't seen the match of Robertson the way I saw him. I haven't seen more of Robertson compared to the last 3 seasons when he was playing at his level. This season he has kind of been down at the moment, not playing the way he used to play. So I'll just have to pick Tavares. Sorry to disappoint you, my people, but Tavares. The midfield, of course, I'll go with Fabinho. And I'll go to Thomas Partey.
But you see, when you play for me with Thomas Partey, those are two holding midfielders. So
one thing you should know that
that's a defensive
approach. One thing you should know that is that Fabinho is a traditional DM.
Yeah.
With Thomas Partey, he plays more likely like Bruno Fernandes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Likes to drive forward, likes to short. Although he's playing silent, Fabinho hasn't that much differ.
And what about Henderson?
I'll go with Henderson. I'll pick Henderson because of his work rate and because of that leadership that he always brings in the team. Because if you're a player like Henderson in that team, in your team, actually you will really, really perform very well and he knows how to conduct his team generally.
Yeah.
My front three, I'll go with Mohamed Salah, obvious.
Yeah.
I can't, you know how the guy has been on fire.
He's been lethal.
Yeah. And of course, Firmino. And
so you'll prefer Firmino over Aubameyang?
Talk about with me the reason why I like Firmino because he really plays in that position very well. And if you compare with Aubameyang of late hasn't been the Aubameyang that we saw when he joined Arsenal of late. And this season he hasn't been firing that much. But with a player like Firmino, he likes creating chances for his teammates. The way we always say he likes creating chances for Salah and Mane, and he always like kind of try to play as a false number 9 and gives room for the likes of Salah and Mane to play. With Aubameyang, when it gets tough, he can't score goals.
Okay. What if you are the Liverpool coach and you are going to this fixture and you have Firmino and you have Jota? But if you focus on Jota, Jota has been having a great season till this point that Liverpool has reached.
True.
So if you're Klopp heading to this fixture, which player will you choose?
But with Firmino being Kenya, definitely he might start with Jota. He will start with Jota.
Yeah, because Jota brings chips in with the goals.
Yeah, he will start with Jota. But I like Jota, not that I don't like. I like Jota. So in my another winger there, I'll go with Smith Rowe. The boy has really been firing, has really been scoring very, very good goal. I'll just say that he knows where to position himself when he wants to score goals, and because some of the goals that he has been scoring is mistake that opponents always do, and he's a player that if you just do a little mistake in the box, he will punish you. So that's my first 11, Liverpool and Arsenal combined.
Yeah.
So I don't know your prediction.
Yeah, I told you my prediction. I expect a 2-2 draw.
My prediction is 2-1. In favor of Arsenal. Because it's high, because it's high time we break this record, because we've been having a good record against Liverpool.
You know it's difficult.
Yeah, it's winning, a difficult ground. It's a very difficult
ground. Even Man City have tried it, but it's been difficult.
But we'll see. I think we'll go. Let's wait and see. It's tomorrow.
Yeah,
tomorrow we'll wait and see. So, before the international break, we had some managerial transformation or managerial transformation, player clubs signings, bringing in some new managers, the likes of Norwich, bringing in Dean Smith early this week, appointing Dean Smith as their manager. Last week, we saw Aston Villa appointing Steven Gerrard, and also last week, again, Newcastle appointing Eddie Howe as their new manager. The two managers, one has played almost his whole career in English football, that's Steven Gerrard. The two have been able to manage two English clubs heading to their new task. How do you see the three managers faring?
Okay, I think all the managers, they have a challenge ahead, and how they'll deal with the first 5-6 fixtures that they're going to experience will determine how their season is going to be. So, also them, they understand the battle that they have. So for them, how the way Dean will handle Norwich in this first 5-6 fixtures, the way Gerrard will handle Aston Villa, and those, because they have very difficult fixtures. See, if you look at Aston Villa have a hell of fixtures ahead.
And I don't know if it's just a coincidence or what, because the new appointed managers, their various club, will be starting their first game at home. Aston Villa will be at home against Brighton.
Yeah.
Newcastle will be at home against Brentford. Norwich will be at home against Southampton. Playing at home, your first game in charge. Advantage?
It's an advantage to them, but if you look at the opponents, they are facing.
Yeah, the opponents aren't easy.
They are very tough opponents.
They are really tough opponents.
So, I think it will be challenging, and that's why I told you I can judge these managers how they will cope up with their first 5 fixtures, because their first 5 fixtures will be very crucial.
True. It will be very, very, very crucial. And earlier this week, when Dean Smith was appointed as the new Norwich manager, actually I was surprised.
Why are you surprised?
Simply because, you know, you should compare with how Aston Villa and how, because he's come to take over a team that, sorry to say that, I'm not being disrespectful to Norwich City, but Norwich are really struggling compared to how Villa were under him. They're actually position 20, and I know the only task that he has been given is to make sure that Norwich survives.
Yeah.
They shouldn't be relegated, and that also I think will make him not to have that much pressure compared to where how he was at Aston Villa. Because last season, if you compare the targets that he was given at Aston Villa and this season, and depending on how the owners of Villa supported him financially,
okay,
you can see that the pressure piled up so much on Dean Smith, because he just had to deliver this season with Aston Villa.
I think with Norwich. What they needed was a manager that was more proven to the Premier League. See, the coach that they had wasn't that proven, wasn't that experienced with the Premier League. I think
which
that coach?
The Flack.
Yeah, I think Flack was more proven to the Championship than the Premier League, because the coach at the Championship, he was performing very well, but when he comes to the Premier League,
he always struggles.
Yeah, he struggled. So with Norwich, the piecing that, because Norwich, on their level, they have some talents there, and they lack that coach that understands the Premier League better and understands the opponents in the Premier League. So with this move, Norwich targeted a manager that was more proven in the league, because the squad is there. Like Dean Smith, I'm sure Dean Smith, when he goes to that team, he won't have the pressure that he had maybe at Villa, because at Villa he was more reliant on Grealish, you see, and he's been having Grealish for the past four seasons here.
Yeah.
So he was used to Grealish, but when he goes into this project, he'll go into this project knowing that there is no Grealish, there is no Mings. It's like a new chapter. So I think he'll perform well with the,
because many managers after being sacked with their previous employees, I think some employees or the employers, their owners, they tend to kind of take a kind of a long break, or let's say 6 months, 5 months.
Yeah.
It's when you see them back to in coaching. But with him, he didn't even take a month.
It was, I think,
2 weeks later, there's been appointed as a new coach.
I think then
many saying that it was a risk, him yeah. accepting the job.
Yeah, it's a risk. Every job is a risk. See, even if you're called to coach, even Lampard's job is a risk. But at that moment, Norwich had two options. They had Lampard and they had Dean Smith. And Lampard, I heard that he pulled off the offer. So they had to go with Mr. Dean. Yeah.
And of course, after the international break, Ole Gunnar's future.
The guy is still surviving.
Ole Gunnar's future is at stake once again. Ole Gunnar's future. And we have seen various coaches, including Rogers,
yeah.
being linked to the job at Manchester United. As a United fan, what's your say?
Okay. When I talk honestly as a Manchester United fan, I think we are tired of Ole Gunnar. Okay, I don't think there's any United fan that maybe supports Ole Gunnar, even that 1% support.
Yeah.
I think all of us, after the Liverpool thrashing, we expected Ole Gunnar to be sacked, but the guy is still there. After the Man City thrashing, we expected the guy to
start. Seems fans have lost faith on Ole,
yeah, so,
and also players.
And yesterday there was a meeting. I think Edward Woodward was addressing the conference.
Woodward?
Yeah.
Woodward, I thought he was...
He's still around. Yesterday
he's still the director of Manchester United.
Yeah, he was addressing the... He had a press conference yesterday and
hey,
he was saying...
Okay.
He's in full support of the players, of the coach, the manager and everything. And he believes in the Ole Gunnar's project and he believes Ole Gunnar will turn things around. So, currently, I can tell all the Manchester United fans, we should reduce our expectation on Ole Gunnar being sacked. Because as per what I see Ole Gunnar finishing this season. And it's going to be worse because I don't see United finishing above the top four, the top six. We can finish maybe in the number 8 position or in the number 9 position. Yeah.
And do you believe that Ole can turn things around? Because
okay, Ole, I don't believe.
This weekend you are playing away against Watford. Next weekend you are at home
against
Chelsea.
Okay, even if he wins this weekend, I don't think it will change my perspective, because after the Liverpool thrashing, the guy went on, and I think we faced Tottenham here, yeah, and we won 3-0, and after that. Winning that 3-0, any fan could say maybe this is the turning point of Ole Gunnar. But after that game, we went on and faced Manchester City, and we were beaten 2-0 at Old Trafford. And that game we didn't play any football totally. So with Ole Gunnar, I can say that I don't have any trust, or I don't believe in that guy totally. Yeah.
And the links, the likes of Yaya Zidane, Rogers being linked to take over.
I think today Rogers had a press conference and he disputed the rumors. He said that those are just mere rumors.
And Zidane?
Okay, Zidane I can't say, because I don't have maybe any clean source about Zidane. Those are just
but
rumors.
But Zidane, he has never been keen as a player and as a coach to ever come and coach any English club.
I think with Zidane, maybe he fears coaching in the Premier League because of the communication barrier. Because Zidane doesn't speak English, yeah, he speaks French only.
And the influence of Ronaldo and the likes of Varane, those are his former players. Can it kind of play a role of luring him to come and coach at Old Trafford?
You see, coaching. I think Zidane has only coached in the Spanish league only, and. If you compare the Spanish league and the English Premier League, those are different leagues with different momentums and different tempo. So I don't think Zidane will be the perfect fit for Manchester United.
That's your thought, but I feel like with Ole now, I think United, I don't see any coach that United can bring in the middle of the season at the moment.
Yeah, what you can,
because the two managers, especially the likes of Roger, I don't think it would be easier for United to try and get Rogers.
Yeah.
Neither Rogers, neither Zidane. Yeah. Because actually it will be tough. And so the only thing, or what I can say is that they should just stick with Ole, maybe until the end of the
but
season.
But you see the results.
Because you never know what might happen. This is Premier League. You might be on form, the next day you are out
but
of form.
But you see Ole Gunnar's tactics, they are not convincing at all, because United don't play any football totally. I think Ole Gunnar, you can say, I don't know how I can phrase it, but we don't play any football totally. We don't have any tactics, we don't have any tempo, we don't have any identity. Yeah. So we should look for a new coach, or Edward should stop those jokes and bring in a new coach.
But I believe this international break actually kind of try and help Manchester United as a team. And hopefully against Watford, they might earn a win.
But even if we win against Watford, it won't count. I don't think it will mean anything to Ole Gunnar, to us fans. If he wants to prove to us maybe that he has learned something new, he has changed something, he should win against Watford, he should go ahead and win against Chelsea, and go on ahead and win against Arsenal. I think after that, maybe we can say, hey, we can give Ole Gunnar a chance. But winning against Watford won't mean anything.
So let me ask you, title favorites at the moment?
Okay, at the moment...
Because Chelsea are position 1 of 26 points, followed by City, 23. West Ham, tying with City, 23, only with a different... The only 23 points, they are tying City with 23 points. Liverpool, position 4, 22 points. And Arsenal are completing the top 5 table with 20 points. Title favorites at the moment?
Okay, for me at the moment, this title, I think it's a three-man race. It's a race, I think it's between Chelsea, Liverpool and Manchester City. Any of those teams that can go with the Premier League, because when you look at those three teams till this point, the Premier League, they have been very consistent and they have been having very good results. So I think it's a three-man race.
So you're ruling out possibility of West Ham, because you never...
West Ham can't win the league.
Relegation favorites.
Burnley
are at position 18 with 8 points, Newcastle 19 with 5 points, Norwich 20 with 5 points, and we have seen the last couple of weeks the two teams have already changed manager. That's Newcastle and Norwich. Can they try and make sure that they push or they get their teams out of the relegation position? Or
so with the relegation position, as I said, these teams, I'll judge them after. I'll give them 5 fixtures each. So after that, it's when that we can come back and focus on them, and we can talk more about the relegation zone. But currently, let's give them some time.
That's all we had for you today, and here on our Pod Football Podcast. And thank you for listening and sparing your time to listen to our amazing, amazing podcast. And Brian, do you have any last words to say before we end the show?
Okay, I don't have anything to say. I'm just looking forward to seeing club football back again in the weekend. And I hope me as a United fan, I hope Ole Gunnar won't disappoint us this time round.
Yeah, till next time, it's a bye-bye from us.